Hello and welcome to another episode of Getting Ahead at Work Life, where we help you improve the quality of life at your workplace. My name is Steve Page. Just as a reminder, we are trying to record three types of episodes: a weekly core topic episode, and then sprinklings of an interview episode and a question and answer episode as we get feedback from you, the listener. So please feel free to give your input. What is work life and why don't we value it? This is episode 2 of the Getting Ahead at Work Life podcast. Okay, so in this episode, we're going to be talking more in depth about what this podcast is about and where all this is coming from. Your work life is the quality of life or quality of existence that you have at your place of work, and also how that affects your personal life. So this could be the physical environment you work in, furniture, old versus new, cubicle, office, open space, windows or not, carpeting, availability of snacks, coffee, beverages, etc. Your physical workplace. It is also the type of work you do. Manual labor, paperwork, coding, customer service, working with kids, meetings, project management, working completely alone, etc. And it also encompasses the relationships you have at work with your coworkers and your boss, supervisor, or management. Lastly, it covers what kind of benefits you have as far as time off, vacation time, employee resources, flex time, etc. These all play a factor in your work life and how happy or satisfied you are at work and with your job itself. Do you actually feel like you're living your life, or do you feel trapped and like you're living to work? I'll give you some examples of kind of what I'm talking about. Tom comes into work leisurely at 9 o'clock with coffee in hand and maybe even some breakfast. He goes to his cubicle and logs into his computer, checks some email. Then he proceeds to make the rounds, talking to multiple people, reviewing the past night's game with other guys for an hour. Then he does a little work. Then he goes to lunch for an hour around 12:30. He maybe even uses some of his lunch time to go work out. He's got time to call his utilities or cell phone provider to discuss upgrade options. Then he makes phone calls, writes some emails, and does a little work for a few hours and heads home around 5:30 or 6. He works in a relatively nice office, gets along with everyone, and has a boss who leaves him alone. He also can come and go as he pleases without anyone asking any questions. He's got it made pretty well. Now Susan, on the other hand, rushes into her job at 7 a.m. after dropping off her kids to daycare. She's a software developer working at a government site where the office is old, the furniture is falling apart, and there are very few windows. She has multiple bosses, including her company manager, the customer, and another team she works for. She's got her nose to the grindstone most of the day. Otherwise, she is getting called into several ad hoc or unplanned meetings. She rarely takes a lunch, can rarely take a vacation, which she basically has to lobby for each time. One or two of her managers are very demanding, and to top it off, she leaves at 5 p.m. But one of her bosses is always hitting her up for some task right when she's getting ready to leave. He has no respect for her time. So all of these factors play into what type of experience you have at your work, at your place of work. Some things make it pleasant, others do not. Obviously, the big ones are the relationships you have with your coworkers and bosses. They probably make up about 75% of your overall job satisfaction. And this is the area that Getting Ahead at Work Life mostly focuses on. For various reasons, we don't value our work lives enough. Most people choose to suffer through bad jobs, or maybe I should say they don't make a choice to do something about them. More than 80% of people do not like their jobs. We are asked to work longer hours for less pay and less benefits. This is the norm. Why do we accept this? Yes, some people actually have no choice, but most people just become complacent, that is, unbothered or untroubled about their situation. Is it because they don't think there's anything better out there, or because they don't think there are any rules and regulations that companies have to play by? Or maybe even people feel their bosses have power over them and might badmouth them so they couldn't get another job, or because they don't think things could get better on their current job, or because they don't think they could learn new skills that would help them to be able to do something else. Well, guess what? The answer to all these questions is yes. Yes, there are better jobs out there. Yes, there are rules and regulations companies have to play by. Yes, things could get better on your current job. Yes, you can learn new skills to be able to switch to a different career path. We just need to put forth a little more effort. We need to see and believe that there are other options available. This is what this podcast would like to help you with. Just a little side note about the whole salary thing. It seems we're spending all this money and getting in debt with loans from college, then graduating and getting a low-paying job, in my opinion, or one that doesn't have anything to do with what we were studying. Then we spend more money on getting a master's degree or PhD. You should check out this podcast episode from Dan Miller at 48 Days. I loved it and was glad he told the caller that he was wasting his time. I'm not sure what number it is, but it's called Stop Paying for Low Return Degrees. As the minimum wage approaches $15 an hour in some places, which is $31,200 a year, it becomes more important to make sure you're going to college for the right reasons and for the right major that will get you the job you want, making the kind of money you want and need. Anyway, that's a topic for another podcast. Back to the main point. The fact is, we need to constantly groom ourselves and be ready for opportunities that may arise. The days of staying with one company until you retire are long gone. The average time people are spending at one company is now 4.6 years. There are plenty of resources out there to learn new skills these days that don't require taking college courses and are a lot cheaper. You can't look one way without seeing another coding course or academy, which is a good thing. Have you ever heard of Udemy.com, Lynda.com, Coursera.com, EDX.com, MOOCList.com? The list goes on. Some of these are free. There'll be a link in the show notes about the top 10 sites for online education. We also need to use online resources like LinkedIn to track and keep in touch with people we come across. By talking to our counterparts, coworkers, friends, etc., we find out about other jobs and what people are doing in them. What does it take to do them? How much do they pay? What are the requirements, etc.? We need to be aware of these things. We need to stay informed so that we can be mobile and ready for opportunities as far as jobs are concerned. You don't need to be complacent. You can take action. If you lack the confidence to deal with your workplace issues, there are resources. We need to empower ourselves to demand the respect we deserve from our bosses and coworkers and become higher value employees that our jobs want to please and keep around for a long time. There's an article on LinkedIn. It's actually Melinda Gates' first article on LinkedIn that she wrote. A quote from that article, it says, "Once upon a time, the American dream was built on the ideal that hard work leads to success. Today, with the rise of technology, the message has become, work all the time or you will fail. In fact, most companies are asking employees to work more. The American work week has soared from less than 40 hours to nearly 50 in the time since that issue of Fortune was published. Technology has made it harder to pull away from our jobs and easier to wonder whether a night off or a long weekend is damaging our careers." End quote. This should not be the case. If you are in an industry where this is the norm, then you just have to decide and know in advance that that's what you're going to do. But just know it doesn't have to be that way. Like I said, with a little more effort and forethought, we can be working in much better job situations and thereby have better, less stressful lives. Another area to look at is freelancing. I read somewhere that the outlook for 2025 is that almost 50% of the workforce will be freelance-based. Right now, it's about 34%. That's 53 million workers that are freelancers. People who freelance contribute an estimated $715 billion in freelance earnings to the U.S. economy. Most freelancers have seen an increase in demand over the past year, and freelancing gives people more control over their career, so it's becoming more attractive. Again, there's a link on this information in the show notes. As we said in the intro episode, we spend a ton of time at our jobs, so it should be a job we like and can feel satisfied with, and one that is not trying to put us in the hospital or worse yet, kill us. Seriously. Well, we hope you enjoyed this episode of Getting Ahead at Work Life. Please like and subscribe to the podcast on Spreaker.com, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and wherever else you enjoy listening to podcasts. We would love to hear feedback from you. So if you would like to submit questions, comments, or if you'd like to be interviewed for the podcast, please do so at info at gettingaheadatworklife.com. Or you can also come on over to our Facebook group to continue the conversation. And just remember, your job shouldn't feel like a life sentence. You have the ability to choose something better.